I want to take you to a passage today. We're still in Romans chapter 8. Last week we made it all the way through two big verses. Today we're going to make it a big one. We're not going to make it very far, but boy, what a verse it is. In fact, let's go ahead and put that up on the screen, if you will, for me. Did I not put that on the screen for you? There we go. All right. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. It's a good verse, isn't it? Stand with me, if you will. Say, I was sick through Bible school, so y'all just got to give me a little leeway today. All right? This sounds like a memory verse to me, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like a VBS memory verse? All right, so that means you got to say it with me. You ready? That's how we do it with the kids. One, two, three. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now, this is what we'll do during Bible school too. You have to use your soft voice this time. Okay? Your inside voice. Are you ready? One, two, three. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Good. Y'all are good at this. You know what's coming next, right? It's time for your outside voice. You ready? Got to get it deep down there in the diaphragm. You ready? Here we go. One, two, three. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Great verse. I think you got it down pat. Let's pray. Spirit of God, our prayer today is that you lead us, that we recognize your leadership, and that we're able to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're a good sport. Have a seat. As kids, most of us played at some point or another, follow the leader. And it matters who the leader is, isn't it? Because somewhere along the way, during that game, you get that kid that gets up there and he freezes up. He doesn't know what to do, you know, finally he's scrambling around, everybody gets mad at him, tells him he's a terrible leader, and then the game's over with, and everybody kind of leaves in a fit. Sometimes things like that can happen, sometimes mishaps can happen along the way. This past week, I read an article from a Kansas newspaper from August of 1962. The article centered on two families, the Pools and the Boyds. The Pools and the Boyds had decided to go on vacation together, but to drive separately, one following the other. Now, I'm just reporting what's in the article, okay? It was the wives who were driving, all right? I'm not making a judgment. I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you like it is. The women were driving, all right? So Mrs. Poole finally decides when the police officers get there to tell her side of the story. She said when she came around the corner, she couldn't decide which way the road went, so she decided to turn left. Turning left took her across the median, across two lanes of northbound traffic, and straight into a rock wall. When Mrs. Boyd told her story, when she saw Mrs. Poole turn left, she yanked it left too. When she yanked it left, she went right into the ditch, and that's where she stayed. I don't know, sounds a little bit like a Bible verse, doesn't it? About the blind following the blind, and they end up in the ditch somehow. Listen, it matters who you follow. And it matters that you're smart enough to follow in the right kind of way, isn't it? Listen, who you follow does matter. And in our verse today, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Spirit is our leader. The Holy Spirit of God is our leader. You're not your own leader. You're not the leader for your own life. God knows those things. He knows what's planned ahead for you. He knows everything that He's got in store for you and for your life. And so He is the right one to lead you through this particular life. And we're going to look at that in detail today. But you need to understand this. The Holy Spirit is not an influence. He is not a force. He is not some weapon that you can pull out to use whenever you want it. He is a He. He is person. He is the third person of the Godhead. He is as much God as the Father. He is as much God as the Son. He is God, the Holy Spirit. It is God who is the leader for every detail, every part of your life. He is not the instrument that's in our hands. We are the instrument that's in His hands. He is not simply responding to our every whim. Instead, He is moving us. He is leading us in the directions that we're to go. So when I look at this verse, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God," it causes me then to ask two specific questions. Number one, how does He lead me? And then number two, where is He leading me? If He is my leader, I want to know how. And if He is my leader, then I want to know where. So let's examine those questions today. How does the Holy Spirit lead you? That's not a subjective question. It's not one that you get to raise your hand and this person on this side of the room says, "Well, He leads me in this way." And the person on this side of the room gets to say, "Well, He leads me in this way." It's not subjective, it is objective. It is as objective as the truth of God's Word that you hold in your hand today. And so let me give you these four specific ways through which the Holy Spirit will lead you. Number one, the Holy Spirit will lead you through sanctification. Through sanctification. Did you notice the very first word that was there in that verse? It's the word "for." It's called a term of explanation. It's used kind of like the word "because." In fact, if you're reading from an NIV translation, you probably have the word "because" that's written in there. The term of explanation, the word "for," simply points back to the previous verse. So what the Bible is doing is linking these two verses together and saying that the leadership of the Holy Spirit has to do with whatever He's been talking about in the verse beforehand. Last week, we looked at those verses. Last week, we discovered that He was talking about practical sanctification, how you, as a sinner, can be redeemed by the power of God through the bloodshed of Jesus Christ, and how every day He is conforming you into the image of His Son. You're being made more and more like Christ. That's the purpose of sanctification. That's what He's leading you through. If you recall, or if you just simply want to look back right there at that verse in verse number 13, the primary exhortation of sanctification is this, that by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. So, what does all that mean? It means this, that when the Spirit of God is leading you, what He's leading you to do is to put to death the deeds of the body. That's primarily it. First and foremost, and contextually in what you have right there before you, the sanctification of yourself, that process through which the Holy Spirit is working in you, that is His leadership. In every area of your life, He is conforming you to the likeness of Jesus Christ. He's trying to make you more and more like Him. He's chipping away those parts that do not resemble Christ. He's chipping away that sinfulness that you have such a hard time letting go of. He wants you to let go of those things. He tells you, put to death the deeds of the body. And yet it's Him who's giving you power to do those things. It's through sanctification that the Holy Spirit leads you. Second thing, though, that I want to mention to you is this. The Holy Spirit leads us through submission. Through submission. The verb that you have in our particular verse for today, are led. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That word are led, or those, I know those are two words. And some of your translations say are being led, which really I think is a better translation. But it's summed up in one word in the Greek text. It's the word ago. And when you begin to look at that word, you discover that it's a present passive indicative. Say, Tim, good gracious. Number one, what does that mean? Number two, what does it even matter? Well, it matters a great deal when you understand what it means. For it to be present means that the leadership of the Holy Spirit is already in existence. It is already present. And it means that it is continuous, that it's continuously available. His leadership never goes out of style. He never takes a nap. He never stops. It is never the process of not wanting to lead you. Now listen, His leadership will always be available to you. Always. Now whether you're following His leadership or not, may not be as continuous, but his leadership in your life is always continuous, and you get it from that word. It's a present word. He is always leading you. But the second part of that says that it's in the passive voice. So, well, what does that mean? It means then that it's something that's acted upon you, not something that you do yourself. Listen, you're going to have some knucklehead somewhere along the way that says, just let your conscience be your guide. No, that's terrible advice. Don't let your conscience be your guide. There's so many times when you can't even tell the difference between what's right and wrong. How many times has a person said to me, Tim, I didn't even know that was wrong. So how can you let your conscience be your guide if your conscience can't tell the difference really between what's right and wrong in a world that is so filled with gray? For the person who says to you, well, just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. No, that's stupid too. Look, you just got to be plain, right? The Bible says that the heart is deceptive above all things and desperately wicked. You can't follow your heart. Who do you follow? We're playing follow the leader today. The leader is the Holy Spirit. I'm not following my conscience. I'm not following my heart. I'm not following my agenda. I'm not following my preferences. I want to follow the Spirit of God. It is a passive word. It means that He is leading me, not me leading myself. So all that means is this. I have to be willing for Him to lead me, right? I've got to yield to Him. I have to surrender to Him. I have to submit to Him. I have to come to a point to where I say, Spirit of God, I want you to fill me, to be in control of me, like it says in Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, I yield, I surrender, I submit my life to you and every part of it. I want you to have control. To be led by the Spirit of God means that you've got to get out of the way. He does that through sanctification. He does it through surrender. He does it through the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit will lead you through Scripture. The Bible says that this is truth. This is truth. This Bible doesn't just contain truth. This is truth. This is everything that you need for life and for godliness. Everything that you need to go through your life is in the pages of this book. It is the revelation of God in its fullness, and it is complete. Therefore, He will always, always lead you in accordance with the Scriptures. I want to say more about that in a few moments, so let me just leave that right there at that. Let me give you number four. The Holy Spirit leads you through sureness. Through sureness. Our verse, for as many as are led, for as many as are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. These are the children of God. Listen, it doesn't matter, man, woman, boy, or girl. The Bible simply refers to you at that point as being a child of God, being a son of God. And if He's working sanctification in your life, what it simply means is the sons of God are becoming like the Son of God. And when the sons of God, the children of God, are like the Son of God, then they know that they belong to Him. He's working sureness. He's working assurance into your life. How do you know? How do you know that you belong to Christ? Is it because you prayed a prayer? No. Is it because you went through the waters of baptism? No. Is it because your name is on a church roll somewhere? No. How do you know that you belong to Christ? What does our verse say? If you're being led by the Spirit of God, that's how you know that you're a child of God. He is working sureness in there. I don't have to come to a point to where I begin to wonder, you know, is this God's voice trying to lead me? Is this the devil's voice trying to trick me? Is this my own voice that's getting in the way? Jesus said, my sheep, I know them by name. They hear my voice, and they know me. You know who He is by spending time with Him in His Word. You'll know it. When you call somebody on the phone or somebody calls you on the phone, you ever spend those first few moments trying to figure out who it is because they didn't tell you? And you just go on with a conversation, don't you? Speaking from experience, you know. You just hope somewhere before the conversation ends that you got it figured out who this person is. But somebody close to you, your mama, your daddy, your child, your spouse, when they call you on the phone and they don't say who they are, I hope to goodness you'll spend a lot of time trying to figure out who that is. If they start calling you sweetheart, you better not be trying to number off. Okay, maybe it's this one, maybe it's this one, maybe it's this one. You just know. How do you know? Because you're in relationship with them and you spend time with them. That's how you know the voice of God. It's not a magic trick. You know the voice of God by spending time with God. And He'll lead you. And you'll know it. And you'll be ready to follow. That's how He leads you. Listen, in every way, He will always lead you in that manner. Always. There's never going to be a time where you say, well, He didn't lead me like that this time. No, He'll always lead you that way. And if that's not where the leadership's coming from, then it's not coming from Him. Okay? Now, if He's leading me, then He's leading me somewhere, right? Well, I want to know where. I want to know where He's leading me. So let me give you these three things. Number one, the Holy Spirit will always, all right, you hear that? He will always lead you in triumph in the Son. He will always lead you in triumph in the Son. Listen to this verse. This comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If you want to write it down, it's verse number 14. Paul writes and says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. He always leads us in triumph in Christ. What does that mean? All right, go back to the very first thing that we said. How does the Spirit lead you? He leads you in sanctification, right? You can't separate verse 14 from verse 13. He's leading you to put to death the deeds of the flesh. He's leading you to be conformed to the image of Christ. The triumph that is in Christ is victory over your own sinfulness. The ultimate victory over sin has been paid for at the cross. The victory now that you seek in your life to win over that temptation or over that sin that has ensnared you, victory for that has really already been won at the cross. Now you are in the battle and you are living it out and you are saying no to temptation and you are saying yes to Christ and you are spending time with Him and you are separating yourself from your own sinfulness and separating yourself from those desires. And every time that it happens, it is triumph. It is triumph. I mean, there really ought to be a party that goes on in your prayer life when you say no to temptation. You're triumphing over that. But listen, He always leads us in triumph in Christ. You may have a party in your prayer time, but when it really comes down to it, I'm not the one that gets credit for it. I'm not the one that can get glory for that. Boy, look at what Tim quit doing. You know, he quit drinking, he quit smoking, he quit, you know. It's just an example. All right? You don't get to say that. It's not my willpower that's done it. It's not my strength. It's not my spiritual maturity now that's finally stood up and said, yes, Tim wants to be a victor in Christ. No. Go back to that passive part that we were talking about. Who's doing the work in you? It's the Spirit of God. Who gets credit? Who gets glory? It's Christ. It's Christ who won the victory in the first place. It's Christ who went to the cross to die for the sin that you got yourself in trouble with in the first place. It's Him who gets glory. Listen, the Bible says this about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, He glorifies me for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. This is what he means. He will give glory to Christ in all things in your life. And then he says he'll declare it to you. You will become an instrument of the glory of Christ. When the Bible says that he leads us in triumph in Christ, it is the Holy Spirit then who is using our life and the change that's come about to bring glory to the Savior. That's what it means. And ultimately, that's our responsibility, isn't it? That's the responsibility behind our very existence, is to glorify Christ. So number one, he leads me always in triumph in Christ, or to triumph in Christ. Secondly, the Holy Spirit always leads me to the truth of the Scriptures. He always leads me to the truth of the Scriptures. Jesus said, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. This is truth. Everything that's in it, everything that it is absolutely true. Though your Bible is not a science book, when it speaks on matters of science, it does so accurately. Though your Bible is not primarily a history book, when it speaks on matters of history, it does so reliably. Your Bible is primarily there so that you will have a relationship with Christ. It's to lead you into that. So when it speaks on matters of salvation, it does so authoritatively. It's a big word. The Spirit of God always draws us to the Word of God. He will always lead you to the truth. He will always bring you back to the revelation of God Himself. That's why He's referred to as the Spirit of Truth. He is the Spirit of Truth. And this is what the Bible says. He will guide you into all truth. He'll guide you into all truth. One of the primary responsibilities of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is to illuminate the Scriptures, to make those things come alive, to help you to understand them. The unredeemed man, the unsaved man, the one that the Bible refers to as the natural man, the Bible says that they cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God, and this is why. For they are spiritually discerned. But then he says, you're not the natural man. He refers to you as a spiritual man. A spiritual man. One in whom resides the Spirit of the living God. He will lead you. He will guide you into all truth. He will help you to recognize the truth of God. He will help you to understand the truth of the Word of God. He will help you to apply the truth of the Word of God to every area of your life. Now, if you come to a point and you say, Tim, I've been reading my Bible. I just don't understand it. Well, then ask the author what it means. Your Bible may have well over 40 writers, but it only has one author. And that author is the Spirit of God. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God moved holy men of God to write those Scriptures so that everything that is on the page is exactly what the Holy Spirit of God purposed to be there. He has everything that you need in mind as these things are being written. You don't understand the Scriptures? Then you better ask Him. And when you ask Him, He'll illuminate those things to you. That's His work that's going on in your life. Now, if you continually come to a point where you say, I just don't understand it, then you're either reading a translation that's too hard to understand, or number two, maybe you just don't have the teacher living within you. The Bible says that you have to check that out. You have to make sure that you know that you know. If He's not in there, if He's not leading you to truth, then He's not leading you at all. Okay? Number three, the Holy Spirit will always lead you to trust the Father. He will always lead you to trust the Father. In the end of our verse, For as many as are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Well, if we are children of God, that means that He then is our Father, right? The height of spiritual maturity is not necessarily how deep the waters are. The height of spiritual maturity is a childlike faith in Christ. It's just simply to be able to trust Him. To trust Him. To trust Him when you get good news. To trust Him when you get bad news. To trust Him when the day is going according to plan. To trust Him when the day is spinning out of control. This is the day that the Lord has made. How do we rejoice and be glad in it when things are going south? By trusting Him. Know that everything in your life happens through the fingers of the hand of God. He has those things in control. So I know then that I can trust Him, right? To trust Him. Why do you think it is that sometimes the Holy Spirit, as He leads you, seems like it just doesn't make sense sometimes? You know, it seems out of character for you. Or maybe it seems like it's something that's too hard. Why would He lead you that way? To prove that you might trust Him. Will you trust Him? Let me ask you this. This is a better question according to our verse today. Is the Holy Spirit of God leading you? Is He leading you? If He is, it'll tell you that you belong to Him. If He is, then you'll know what to do next. Right? Sometimes folks will come and they'll say, well, I just don't know. I'm just confused. James chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every other evil thing will be there. You know when confusion comes into my life? It's wherever envy and self-seeking exist. When I'm trying to figure it out all by myself, Tim, what am I going to do? What am I going to do next? What's my next step? Where am I really going with all of this? It's not my job, is it? My job is to trust the Spirit of God, to surrender to Him, and allow Him to be the leader, and for me to be the follower.